Title: Subharmonics with Stock Devices Using Session View Beginner. Alright, let's build a drum and bass sub that actually holds the room down. Because here's the problem. A lot of bass sounds we love in DNB reissues, growls, distorted samples, resampled madness don't naturally keep a stable fundamental in that 30 to 60 Hz zone. And once you start filtering and saturating, the sub can turn into this inconsistent, wobbly mess that either eats your headroom or just disappears on real systems. So in this lesson we're doing a beginner-friendly session view workflow, using only Ableton stock devices, to generate and control sub harmonics properly. The goal is simple. Your mid-bass can be as gnarly as you want, but the sub stays clean, mono, consistent, and it locks with a kick. We're going to build a two-layer system. One track for the mid-bass character and one track for the sub. Both will be driven by the same MIDI, so you can jam ideas quickly in session view, make a few scene variations, and then record your performance straight into arrangement when it hits right. Let's go. First, project prep. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere from 172 to 176 is fine, but 174 is the sweet spot for a lot of rollers. Now in session view, create three tracks, an audio track called Bass MID, another audio track called SUB, and a MIDI track called Bass MIDI. Quick note, yes, we're using audio tracks for the bass layers, but we're still going to play instruments on them. Ableton doesn't care. Audio tracks can host instruments, and it's a clean way to think of them as layers. Optional but recommended. Get some drums looping. You can throw a drum rock on a MIDI track with a kick and snare, add hats, or drop in a breakbeat and warp it. The reason is simple. You can't really judge sub without the kick and groove happening. Now step 1. Make a basic DNB bass phrase in MIDI. On the bass MIDI track, create a 1-bar MIDI clip and loop it. Pick a root note to start. F is super common in DNB because F1 lands around 43.65 Hz. That's right in the zone where club systems feel huge, and it still translates decently. G1 is about 49 Hz, A1 is 55. Those are also great home notes. Now write a classic rolling rhythm. Think short 8th notes and 16th stabs. Keep most notes tight, roughly 70 to 120 milliseconds. That tightness is what gives you that controlled rolling bounce instead of a smeary low-end wash. Then duplicate that 1 bar out to 8 bars. And every 2 bars, make tiny variations. One note moved, one extra stab, one hole on the last beat. Microvariation is basically the DNB secret sauce. You want the pattern to feel hypnotic, not random. Teacher tip, keep your sub movement controlled. If your bass line spends too much time on notes below about 40 Hz, it can feel insane in headphones, but vanish on smaller systems. So be intentional with those low notes. Cool. Step 2. Build the mid-bass layer using stock synths. Go to the bass MID track and drop on Waveeatable. If you don't have Waveeatable available, Operator works too, but Waveeatable is a very quick route to a solid resish start. In Waveeatable, set oscillator 1 to a saw wave. Add a bit of unison, like 2 to 4 voices, but keep the amount low. We don't want the low end going wide and weird. The sub is going to be our anchor. Turn on a low-pass filter, something like LP24, and put the cutoff somewhere around 200 to 600 Hz depending on how dark you want it. For amp envelope, go for a shortish decay and low sustain if you want stabs. Now we shape it with two classic stock devices. Add saturator. Drive it around 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. Saturator is going to help this mid layer read in the mix and feel aggressive. Then add EQ8. And this is important. High pass the mid bass around 80 to 120 Hz. Yes, you're deliberately removing the sub from the mid layer. That's the whole point of the two-layer system. If the mid layer is still carrying sub, your low end will be inconsistent and you'll fight it forever. If it sounds boxy, do a small cut around 200 to 350 Hz. Goal check. The mid layer should sound interesting and nasty, but if you solo it, it should not feel like it's responsible for the deep weight. It's the character layer. Now step 3. Route 1 MIDI clip to both layers. This is the session view magic. On the SUB track, we're going to build a sub instrument, but first we need both tracks to listen to the bass MIDI track. On bass mid, set MIDI from to bass MIDI and set monitor to in. On sub, also set MIDI from to bass MIDI and monitor to in. Now your 1 MIDI clip drives both layers. You can switch scenes, try variations, and both bass layers stay perfectly in sync. Now step 4. Creating sub harmonics, stock only. I'll give you two approaches. Approach 1 is the most reliable, most DNB safe method. A generated sub using operator plus saturation. On the SUB track, load operator. In operator, set oscillator to a sine wave, keep it simple. No fancy modulation, no filter movement. This is where boring on purpose is a compliment. Sub is supposed to be stable. Adjust the level so it's healthy but not slamming. A decent starting point is seating it sit around minus 12 dB on the track meter, but use your ears because your kick level matters. Now add saturator after operator. This is where we create the harmonics. Set drive somewhere around 3 to 8 dB. Turn soft clip on. And here's a key mixing habit. Don't just make it louder. Use the output knob so the perceived level stays similar when you toggle saturator on and off. You want extra harmonics, not extra loudness tricking you. Then add EQ8, low pass at around 90 to 120 Hz. The point is, the sub track should be sub plus a controlled amount of upper harmonics for translation, not a second mid bass. If it gets too thick, you can do a small dip around 50 to 70 Hz. That's optional, but it can help if the room is booming. Why this works? A pure sine is basically just the fundamental. Saturation adds upper harmonics that help it show up on smaller speakers without needing to crank the fundamental. That's sub harmonics in a practical, musical way. Approach 2 is more character-based, deriving sub harmonics from the mid-bass. This time, instead of operator on the sub track, you'll set sub to receive audio from bass mid. On the sub track, set audio from to bass mid, and choose post effects. That means whatever your mid-bass is doing filtering, saturation, movement gets fed into the sub track in real time. Then put EQ8 on sub and low pass around 70 to 110 Hz. This is basically you carving a sub band out of the mid-bass signal. Add saturator after that. Drive maybe 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. Then add utility, and set width to 0%. Mono, always. This is non-negotiable for most drum and bass subs, especially if you wanted to survive club playback and mono compatibility. This approach can sound really cool because the sub inherits some of the movement and grit of the mid layer. But if your mid layer is heavily distorted, this can get messy fast. So consider it a flavor option, not your default. Now step 5. Lock the sub to the kick with sidechain compression. On the sub track, add compressor. Turn on sidechain. Choose your kick as the sidechain input. If your kick is in a drum rack, pick the kick chain. Starting settings. Ratio at 4 to 1. Attack between 2 and 10 milliseconds. Faster attack clamps harder. Slower attack lets a bit of sub poke through. There's no rule, just decide what fits your kick. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. This is where the groove lives. Loop your pattern and adjust release until the sub feels like it breathes with the kick instead of fighting it. Then lower threshold until you get around 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on each kick. Quick coaching checkpoint. Solo just kick and sub. You should hear two separate events: kick transient, then sub body. If it feels like one smeared blob, reduce sub release, reduce note length, or increase sidechain depth. Now step 6. Make it session view friendly with scenes. Create a scene called a groove with your 8-bar drums and 8-bar bass clip. Duplicate it to a new scene called a variation. Change 2 or 3 bass notes or adjust note lengths. Another trick is to keep the notes the same but change velocities or lengths in the clip. Shorter notes feel tighter, longer holds feel heavier. Then make a drop scene. Often heavier doesn't mean more notes. It can mean fewer notes with more space. Consider longer notes on the one, or intentional gaps right before big hits. Silence is one of the heaviest bass moves in D&B. Then a break or minimal scene. Try reducing the sub by 6 to 10 dB instead of muting it completely. That way, when the drop returns, it feels like the floor comes back. And here's a session view discipline tip. Name scenes by what changes, not the vibe. For example, sub clean, sub more harmonics, longer notes. One scene equals one decision that stops you from jamming forever and never finishing a track. Now step 7. Quick mix check so your sub actually works. Put spectrum on the master. You're looking for a stable fundamental, often around 40 to 55 Hz depending on key. You don't need it to be a perfect line, but you want it consistent when the bass hits. Put utility on the master and toggle mono. Also do this. Put utility on the sub track and force it mono, then compare with a wide mid layer. The goal is stable mono low end with width coming from the mids, not the sub. And remember, sub eats headroom. If your sub is loud enough to feel, it will look big on the meters. That's normal. Just don't clip your master, and don't let the sub randomly peak on certain notes. If you notice certain notes jumping out, a gentle glue compressor on the sub can help. Very light settings, ratio 2 to 1, attack 10 ms, release on auto, and only 1 to 2 dB of reduction on the loudest notes. This is not for pumping, it's just to stop random peaks. One more practical trick. If kick plus sub feels weaker when they hit together, test phase quickly. Add utility on the SUB and try phase invert on the left channel or right channel and keep whichever setting gives you more solid low end. It's not always necessary, but it's a fast check. Before we wrap, here's a mini exercise to make this stick. Duplicate your sub setup so you can /B2 sub styles in session view. Sub A is operator sine plus saturator. Sub B is derived from the mid bass with audio from EQ, saturator, utility mono. Make two scenes, one where sub A is active and sub B is muted, and the other scene flipped. Loop each and ask, which stays cleaner when the drums hit, which feels heavier on small speakers, which survives mono better. And bonus, move the entire bassline up or down one semitone and listen to how the sub impact changes. That single semitone can be the difference between massive and where did my low end go. Recap. You built a session view drum and bass base system with a mid layer plus a dedicated sub layer, using only stock Ableton devices. The safest, most consistent sub harmonic method is operator with a sine wave, then saturator for harmonics, then low pass filtering, mono management, and sidechain to the kick. And session view scenes let you test variations fast, make decisions fast, and then record your scene performance into arrangement when you're ready to commit. If you tell me your track key and whether you're aiming for liquid rollers or heavy steppers, plus whether your kick is short and punchy or more boomy, I can suggest a starting sub note length and a sidechain release range that usually locks in at 174 BPM.